Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review.
On today's episode, episode number 87, entitled Way of the Peaceful Warrior, we chat with best-selling author Dan Millman. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is none other than Dan Millman. Dan, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Well, a pleasure to be here with you.
Dan, I've been a big fan of your work for a long time, and I'm really excited to have you on, so just want to pick your brain about some of the stuff you've done. I read your book, Way of the Peaceful Warrior, years ago. It must have been almost 10 years ago now. It was so cool, and I got to kind of interview and kind of, I guess, pick your brain on some of the things in the book.
Sure.
But yeah, so for people, I guess, who are unfamiliar with your work, can you just give them the, 20-second or 30-second kind of synopsis of what you've done and kind of where you're at now?
Happy to do so. As a young man, I was interested in gymnastics. I won a world championship, and I was a coach at Stanford University in gymnastics. And so that was my past as an athlete during my time as a college student and following that. And I was focused on talent, how to create more talent for sport, to learn faster and easier and so on. And my theories did work out in practice. I was a pretty successful coach. But then my interest expanded out of the gymnasium, and I started asking, what qualities can we develop, not just to develop more talent for sport, but also talent for living, for the issues we face every day in relationships, waiting in line, heavy traffic if we drive, the practical elements of everyday life. And that question sent me around the world studying with various mentors, an intensive quest that took well over a decade. Which ended up becoming an approach to living that I've taught for the last 30 years. It's evolved and changed, but it's an approach I call the way of the peaceful warrior. And what I mean by that, to set a context for those who haven't heard the term, it's not opposing ideas. How can you be peaceful and a warrior at the same time? It's more complementary. That is, every one of us, male or female, is seeking to live with a more peaceful heart. But there are times in our lives that we need a warrior's spirit. And so that's what I mean by the term peaceful warrior. And as you know, even though you read The Way of the Peaceful Warrior a long time ago, that conveys an idea of balance and approach to living that is particularly appropriate to anyone. It's just that most so-called spiritual seminars and trainings are attended by maybe 95% women. And all my trainings over the last 30 years or so have had a pretty close to 50-50 balance between men and women. So many more men can relate to the idea of the peaceful warrior. It seems like a good entree into life's bigger picture. Now, that went well over 30 seconds, but there you are.
No problem, man. I appreciate you kind of giving us that. And so what do you think is the main takeaway from the book? Like, I think the takeaway I got from the book was just living in the present moment. What do you think is the takeaway that you would say?
Well, probably that idea, it's one all of us have heard numerous times today. It's not no longer some esoteric secret. Well before I came around, there was Ram Dass, who wrote the book Be Here Now. And before him, there was Epictetus, the Roman slave philosopher, and Marcus Aurelius, the Roman emperor philosopher. Both an emperor and a slave wrote advice for living a long time ago, well before me. And of course, then after me, we have years after me, decades after I wrote about it. Eckhart Tolle wrote The Power of Now and so on. So the idea of living in the present is fine, but it becomes a slogan. Many people hear slogans, but then what do you do with that? What does it mean to live in the present? Why do we want to do that? It's a paradox, really, Justin, because first of all, if you talk to a physicist, you'll find out that there is no such thing as the present moment. Because if I say the word now, very quickly, from the time I intoned the sound of like N, to the time I said ow, a million nanoseconds have passed. Well, more than a million. Which nanosecond is the present moment? How can you grasp it? So in that sense, there's no such thing, really, ask any physicist, as a present moment we can actually take a hold of. And yet, what teachers like myself are saying when we talk about the present moment is handle what's in front of us. That's the point. That's our moment of power. Because we've become programmed to think the past and future are real somehow. We think about our day, how it's going to be. We project our mind into the future. And sometimes we feel anxieties about a big meeting that's coming up or a performance or a game or something. And we think of what we call the past, like, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. Sometimes we have regrets or memories, negative or positive, sometimes nostalgia. But the past is only a set of memories. It no longer exists except in our own brain. And some people might say, well, a photograph of the past, you can look at that, your 10th birthday party. But all it is, really, is a image of something, of us, that captures a kind of memory. But we're looking at it in the present moment, because that's all we have. And the future is simply our imagination. Now, there's nothing wrong with planning our day, projecting our mind into an imagined future. Maybe it turns out that way. Maybe it's totally different. How many of us have seen that the future we imagine in the morning and the one that actually happens is quite different? So it's useful to begin to focus our attention more in what's real, which is now and now and now. It's very useful. It brings us back to a kind of center. We're not tossed back and forth between the tides of, I wonder what's going to happen, or, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. And we just focus on, what do I need to do now? And that makes us much, it gives us a sense of presence in life. It also quiets the mind. Because when our minds are very busy, I guarantee you we're thinking about either the past or future. In the present moment, all we have is awareness of what's going on right now, which is why a lot of men and women like to play sports, play frisbee, because it brings us back into absorption in what we're doing right now. When a ball's flying at you or you're swinging a golf club or like that, you're not thinking about what you're going to do later today. You're right now. That's a primal joy of absorption, the zone, or what's called flow. So, yes, you could say Way of the Peaceful Warrior does have some repeated lessons about where are you here, what time is it now, that idea. But there's more to the book, actually. Many people say that when they read it a second time, they get a whole different kind of teaching because they've changed. By the way, I've just completed, finally, after 37 years, I've completed the third book, which completes the whole Peaceful Warrior saga. It's coming out next year, called The Hidden School.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting, man. I thought there was two sequels to it already.
Well, yes and no. It's odd because Way of the Peaceful Warrior is the core book. But I wrote another book 10 years after called Sacred Journey of the Peaceful Warrior, and it describes some events that happen in the middle of the book in more detail about a journey to Hawaii and a rainforest and what I learned there. And there's another book which is related, but it's not part of the trilogy. It's called The Journeys of Socrates, which is the story of the old man in the gas station. Some people who've seen the Peaceful Warrior movie, played by Nick Nolte, are curious about his life. So that takes place in Russia, and it's about his life.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to check out the movie myself, and I like Nick Nolte. He's been in some good movies. What was your take on the movie? How did it represent the book?
Well, you know, the book is the book. The movie is the movie. Many of us have seen books from movies, and often the book is better because it can go into more depth and what the character's thinking and feeling inside. But movies are a meal for consciousness in 2 hours or so. So, it served a good purpose. It captures some of the spirit and some of the ideas from the book. But books tend to be, with few exceptions, there are some, they tend to be to offer a bit more if someone's willing to sit down and read it.
Hey man, are you looking to improve your life in a number of very important ways? Do you want to improve, say, your dating, your health, your fitness, your business, your confidence, your social skills, your style, any one of these areas? If so, the best way to do this right now is to join our Facebook group. Join the Elite Man Networking Group right now. It's the best way to build a sense of community online. It's so tough nowadays to feel like you're connected to like-minded people. Joining this Facebook group solves that problem. We have hundreds of awesome guys, speakers, thought leaders, life coaches, dating coaches, business leaders, health and fitness experts, bloggers, podcasters, and just regular awesome dudes like yourself on this group right now, sharing their incredible insights, advice, tips, strategies, and techniques to mastering all sorts of really important areas of your life. If you're serious about improving your life, go right now to Facebook and type in Elite Man Networking Group in the search bar. Type it up right now and join the group. I'll approve the request as soon as possible. It's a closed group, which means it's pretty intimate and not everyone can join. But right now, if you log on, I'll have you added within the same day. I want to get as many awesome guys like yourself into the group as possible. We have such a great community of leaders, speakers, coaches, influencers, people to help share their insights with you and to help share great ideas with each other, to just build each other up and build incredible relationships with one another and help each other become the best people we can be. So join this group right now if you're looking to connect with other incredible men just like you and become the best man you can be. Join now. Go on Facebook and type in Elite Man Networking Group. Okay, back to the show now.
I guess going back to the book, it's kind of an interesting book in the way, in a way that it's based on things that happened to your life, but also a fiction book at the same time. It has parts of fiction. So what parts of the book are real and what isn't, I guess?
Sure. And to those who don't know the book, it may be tangentially interesting to know anyway that there are different kinds of books. There's fiction, there's nonfiction, there are guidebooks, there's how-to books, how to fix a sink, you know, all kinds of how to fix your life, all kinds of books. And there's memoir. Now, memoir is usually in the first person. It's someone telling the story of their life or a slice of their life. It's not an autobiography, which starts with their birth or before that and goes on. And a memoir tells us about an aspect of someone's life. So Way of the Peaceful Warrior is not a novel. It's not a nonfiction book. It is in between. It is not a memoir, because a memoir, you're not supposed to make anything up. You don't mix in fact and fiction. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to convey certain lessons about life. I saw myself as a teacher, and so I had to learn something about writing to teach and to offer some influence and reminders for people. So I based it on autobiographical material, on my life as a young college student and so on, and many things that happened to me. My friend said, yeah, boy, a lot of the book, that really happened, Dan. But I did mix in certain fictional elements as well, deliberately, to convey lessons, visceral lessons people could really get through reading the story. So I never claimed it was all true, but neither is it an entire novel just made up out of a whole cloth. So it's a blend between autobiography and, by the way, if you hear a siren in the background, that's because I live in Brooklyn, New York. This lends authenticity to our time together here. So anyway, it's an odd book, and I wrote them in an odd way, since the two other books aren't sequels. They don't unfold afterward. They take place within the original story. But it does. Now, in terms of your question, how much, that wouldn't mean much to people who haven't read the book. And if they have, I think they could guess. I think they could guess in reading it which parts are a bit of a stretch and which parts could be all true. I mean, I was a world champion. Many of the things in the book are true. You know, Pablo Picasso, the painter, said, art is a lie that helps us to see the truth. So I never claimed, oh, this is all true. There's enough illusions in kind of some New Age teachings and wishful magical thinking, and I want to keep people, you know, grounded. The Peaceful Warrior's Way is about having our head in the clouds but our feet on the ground. Ram Dass put it beautifully. He said, we can be lost in cosmic bliss and still be responsible for remembering our zip code. So, you know, or the Arabic saying, trust in God but tie your camel. So these ideas convey this stretch that all of us make. We have a yearning for something bigger, to understand, what is my life really about? What am I doing here? Once in a while, late at night, we think about such things. But most of the time, our attention is occupied with the conventions of everyday life, going to work, school, taking care of kids, and all the other aspects that that men and women deal with.
Cool, man. I like that. And I think you're right. I think most people kind of, who are familiar with the book, can kind of pick out what's real and what's not. But I think it's just such a fascinating way to write a book that you don't really see that often. Like you said, it's not memoir, it's not nonfiction, it's not fiction. It's like its own unique category, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Dan, what are your keys, I guess, to kind of happiness? Is there anything else besides being in the present moment, or kind of taking each like present moment and being in the nows, I guess? Do you have any other kind of like tips that our listeners can kind of take away?
Sure. Let me provide a context, because when we say we want something, a better relationship, more money, better job, living somewhere else, that sort of thing, all those things represent, when I get that, if I get it, I will be happier. It will be satisfying. I will live a better, happier life. So there is some fundamental need for people to feel good more of the time and feel bad less of the time, and to feel happy. So I have to acknowledge that. And yet, feelings change all the time. They're like the weather patterns of the body. So what I do in my various seminars and, you know, around the world and in my books, is I offer reminders and perspectives. That's all any teacher can do. I remind people of what they already know, what the deeper part of them already knows, but we tend to forget. So first of all, there are some very practical principles that I think most people would agree have a lot of common sense to them. One is that there is no such thing as future happiness, because the future never comes. The future is always the future. Tomorrow is always tomorrow. You wake up one morning and there's still a tomorrow. And then when you wake up on that tomorrow, it's today and there's another tomorrow. So doing things so we'll be happy someday, you know, there's something to be said for delayed gratification, to save money for the future and so on, practical things. But happiness is a discipline. It is a life practice. It's not just some lovely feeling that descends upon us if we're deserving enough or if we've earned it somehow. Living a functional life, getting things done each day, lead to a basically more fulfilling life than not getting things done. So functioning may not sound very spiritual, but getting things done in an organized way in life without dedicating a whole life to just functioning and achieving, but a balance of enjoying life in moments, mini vacations, a deep breath now and then, simple things, practical things we can do, lead to more of an overall sense of fulfillment or satisfaction or even happiness than not functioning very well in life. So that's one common sense idea, that happiness is now or never. And it's something we bring to life. Ask ourselves, you know, how do I behave when I'm feeling really happy? We all know that. We're more expansive. We tend to be kinder to people, more thoughtful. And so let's behave that way. Let's adapt our body and mind to that outpouring, that radiance, as much as we can. I'm not an idealist. I'm not saying I go around with a blissful smile on my face all day, because feelings change all the time. Sometimes I feel a little sad or a little bored, happy, angry, a little afraid, nervous. All those feelings come and go. But at the same time, if we focus on what we need to do in that moment, despite those feelings, which come and go, not really in our control, they just pass through us like the weather, we focus on, what do I need to do now? It always comes down to that. That's quite practical. And one other thing, I would define success as making progress toward a meaningful goal. In other words, meaningful to us. It's not achieving anything. It's not reaching a destination. It's just making progress. A little of something is better than a lot of nothing. Doing small gestures in a positive direction. I'm working on guitar, learning to play a little guitar and piano at my age. And if I practice for 2 minutes, that's great. That means I practiced that day. If someone wants to learn to meditate for a minute, 1 minute. I meditate on the subways here in New York sometimes. Just a brief, a little of something is better than a lot of nothing. It's how we turn what we know into what we actually do. So, and there's one last thing here on that topic. We can control our efforts. We have control over that. But we cannot control the outcomes. Anyone who says, I can guarantee you this or that or success, is deceiving themselves or you. But by making a good effort over time, we vastly increase the odds of getting our desired results over not making the effort. So effort is success because it's all we can control.
Mm. Awesome, man. I like that. It's definitely speaks to, I think, a lot of our listeners who kind of, and even a lot of, even me in a lot of ways, where it's always like I want to kind of make things my way or take control of situations or, you know, just be in control sometimes, even though I can't be. And it's tough to let go, but it's just like so important to do that.
I heard a quotation the other day that I think is one of the most profound quotations I've heard in a long time, and it could take a lifetime to practice this. And it's by the actor Anthony Hopkins. Remember Hannibal Lecter?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Hopkins said this. He said, I am who I am. I do what I do. I expect nothing. I accept everything. And life is much simpler this way. Now, that sounds passive. You know, I expect nothing. I accept everything. But it means we don't resist the moment. Whatever arises, like a good improvisational actor, we go, yes, and we deal with it. We deal with it. Sometimes it's pleasant, sometimes less so. Easy moments, difficult moments, convenient moments, inconvenient moments. But as they arise, we deal with them. But can you imagine the idea of expecting nothing but accepting life as it comes? This is very high practice, and it's. I'm still working on it, you know? Mm-hmm. We all are.
Yeah, I like that. Dan, what is your religious views right now, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, I don't mind at all. Since ancient times, human beings have created models, ideas, concepts, notions of what life is about and how it works, why the stars shine at night, and why people die, and what accounts for change. And we have all these ideas and theories and notions. So religions have arisen, mythology, stories, wonderful stories from one tradition or another. And so I see life that way. So I'd have to be called maybe a respectful, even devoted deist like Einstein, recognizing some kind of force, power, intelligence around us in the universe, but not projecting it as some God who's paying attention to the details of our lives. That's something for us to do. So I don't have any particular religious inclination. I'm sort of a member of none but a friend to all. That's my orientation towards ideas of faith and beliefs.
Mm-hmm. I think this is something you've talked about a lot. It's death. So what do you think happens when we die?
I have no idea. Nor does anybody. though if you talk to a certain monk, they will talk about reincarnation. Talk about to religious people, they'll talk about a heavenly realm. We all have, again, beliefs and theories about that. I do know when I die, I'm going to become compost. And that's fine. I aspire to that. And be useful with my death and nourish the plants and so on. So we know that the body dies and decomposes. As far as if there's a soul or consciousness that goes on, that'll be interesting to find out, won't it?
Mm-hmm. I guess the better question is then, how did you remove your fear of death?
Oh, I don't know whether I've removed it. You know, Woody Allen once said, I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens. So I don't know. There was another spiritual teacher who said, I came into this world kicking and crying, and I'll probably go out that way. So the idea of dying like a Buddha, just sitting in meditation or peaceful, lying down, dying in our sleep, who knows? Buddha once said, everything that begins also ends. Make peace with that and all will be well. So it's, by the way, my new book, The Hidden School, again, I'm not promoting it because it's not even out It won't be out till probably a year from now. But it does address that, and I'm going to be putting some quotations at my website, peacefulwarrior.com, in the near future, that deal profoundly with the whole topic of death and life and its profundity, and from various viewpoints and sages from various times and places. So I intend to put that up as soon as I'm going to be renovating my website soon, so people can stay tuned for that. But that's the best I can tell you. I could tell you anything about what happens after death, but who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. None of us really know it all, but I guess it's just a matter of accepting and enjoying the time that you have, the life you have.
Exactly. Meanwhile, we're here.
Exactly, man. You have another book, I believe, The Four Purposes of Life. Can you just kind of quickly go over what the four main purposes are?
Sure. And again, just as we have, we can separate directions on the points on a compass into four primary directions, and the days of the year into four seasons. By looking at our lives through these particular four purposes, it lends a lot of clarity. It's a small book, The Four Purposes of Life, but it has a lot of material in it. The first purpose has to do with learning life's lessons, which we're here to do. It's like Earth is a school, and lessons repeat themselves till we learn them. If we don't learn easy lessons, they get more dramatic. So, and there's much more to that, but in the time we have, that's the first purpose. We're here to learn life's lessons and grow. And we've learned much, all of us have, over time. And there's actually 12 courses we have to pass to graduate, which I go into in that particular section. The second purpose is finding our career and calling. And understanding the difference between career and calling. Sometimes they blend into one, but often they're separate. And many people, that's an important topic to them, career and calling. And the third purpose is more mysterious. It's about finding our life path. And I wrote a very big book, one of my most popular, called The Life You Were Born to Live. There's an app, the Life Purpose app, also on iTunes for Android or iPhones, that goes into more depth. But it's a system for clarifying our life path, which is deeper than just our career or calling. It's fundamentally what we're here to do as human beings this lifetime. Each of us, it's individuals. There are 43 different life paths, and it shows how to find your own. And the fourth purpose may be the most important one of all, and it's a good place to end, which is attending to our purpose in this present moment. Because if I were to ask you, what is your cosmic purpose? Or you would ask me, we might not be too sure. But if you ask me, what is your purpose right now, Dan? I know that clearly. It's sharing with you, speaking with you. So we always know our purpose in this moment. And the more effectively we address that, the more purposefully we live.
Awesome, man. I like those four purposes a lot, and I'm definitely going to have to check that book out for more info. Dan, is there any last takeaway message you'd like to leave our audience, and then also a place our listeners can check out more about you?
All right. Well, let me just say that we're all perfect, but not yet perfected. So we need to be comfortable with who we are now, even as we grow, evolve, and improve. And it's important for us not to always second guess ourselves. I should have, I would have, I could have. It's just to accept our lives and ourselves, even as we grow, to start to trust our process and know that wherever we step, the path appears. And in terms of how to get in touch, if people are curious and they're interested in this approach to living, they can always go to my website, peacefulwarrior.com. There's some online courses there. They can see the books, some audio programs, and they can even get a glimpse of their life purpose. There's a link there that says life purpose. So that's at peacefulwarrior.com.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Dan. I really appreciate it, and it was such a great pleasure of mine to meet you.
Thanks for inviting me. A pleasure speaking with you.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right. Get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting shows. Subscribe now and get the Elite Man Podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes,
If you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. All right, guys, that's it. Until next time, take care.